MS-13 has been making headlines because of a string of youth murders in Suffolk County, New York, on Long Island. The victims of these most recent murders were all working-class Latino immigrants. And part of the tragedy of this entire story is that migrants from Central America so often are coming to places like Suffolk County on Long Island in order to flee exactly the kind of violence that they're now facing. Liz Robbins is an immigration reporter for the New York Times, and she's been reporting on the gang murders in Suffolk County and how law enforcement has responded. Liz Robbins joins me now to talk about all of her work. Hey, Liz, welcome to Latino USA.
Thank you, Maria. Happy to be here.
So we've been hearing a lot about MS-13 over the past few months. You've been reporting on MS-13 essentially for the past year. So what's going on?
Since 2016, there have been 17 murders in Suffolk County attributed to MS-13. So the rhetoric around MS-13, I would say that it is as advertised because this gang is incredibly dangerous, violent, ruthless, and does not take any kind of human life into account.
Sometimes some of the language coming out of the White House makes it seem as if MS-13 is this gang that is soon coming to a neighborhood near you.
Sure, Maria. I would say, first, let me tell you that if you drive out to towns like Brentwood and Central Islip, you're not going to find MS-13 congregating on corners everywhere. It's not like you're going to encounter them. They do target, I would say, very vulnerable people who perhaps may be new immigrants or belonging to immigrant families. And the schools are a very big source of the recruitment, the hazing, the bullying. And really, right now, what we're finding is that kids are either trying not to go to school or there are not enough outlets for them to get away from gangs. So that's the backdrop.
Now, very specifically, Liz, there has been a case of four murders that happened on Long Island.
Four young people savagely beaten and killed at a children's playground.
So what do we know about these four murders? Who were they? And were they tied to the gang in any way?
One boy who is named Justin Yvecora, he was 16 years old, born to an Ecuadorian family, and he was the only citizen. Jorge Tigre, he came when he was 10 from Ecuador. Two of these boys were cousins, Michael Benegas Lopez and his cousin Jefferson Villalobos. Jefferson had been living with his family in Florida and was just up on vacation visiting Michael. And what's so shocking about the deaths, especially of these two boys, is that they had fled the gangs in Honduras. All four boys, according to their parents, were not members of the gang. And from my reporting, I can say they were not part of MS-13. That doesn't mean that they didn't know people who were in MS-13. And I'm really specifically talking about the boys here in Long Island. If they knew someone that night, or if they were connected in any tenuous way, they were in jeopardy. And as it turned out, even if they were not the intended targets, they ended up dying that night.
When you think of Long Island, you immediately think of the Hamptons. You think of this area that is quite glamorous, quite wealthy. But tell me a little bit about these areas like Brentwood, Bellport, Central Islip, and what's happening in the middle of the island that it has somehow become this hotbed for MS-13 gang activity.
It's lower income, working class. It is also full of an immigrant population that hasn't just arrived, but has been steadily arriving from Central America mostly since the 80s. There is a confluence here where you have 4,000 unaccompanied minors coming to be with their families that had already been on the island. And they just flooded the schools, and the schools are not prepared. The recruiting of vulnerable teenagers who may not have a network, may feel disenfranchised, that is where the rise of the gang has really occurred.
there is a particular dynamic that's happening on Long Island, because on the one hand, you have the Trump administration that's basically drumming up fear. If you have interactions with the police and you're undocumented, the chances that you're going to get deported are very high.
Right.
You've got the Suffolk PD basically having to manage local crime. So can you set the stage for what's happening in terms of the local Suffolk Police Department and kind of how they're managing this dynamic?
This is the crux of the problem. How do you get the community to cooperate while feeling that their status may be in jeopardy? And the one thing that will get them to the police department is the overriding fear of MS-13. The new police commissioner, Tim Sweeney, has come in and has said explicitly,
"We do not, for example, inquire into the immigration status of those individuals who are coming to the police as a witness, as a victim, or someone merely seeking police assistance."
The police department is going after MS-13 ruthlessly, and not just people who may be involved in these horrible murders, but people who have lesser charges. And they have made 170 arrests since September of 2016.
This kind of aggressive engagement on the part of the local Suffolk County Police Department has also raised questions. Recent groups like the ACLU have been saying that in some instances, young people's rights have been violated, especially when there's this notion that you may be a suspected gang member.
Right, right. What you're hearing from the advocate side in Suffolk County especially is that there are school resource officers, which are police officers in the school, that are supplying information to the police saying this is a person who is wearing gang colors or a person who is seen with other gang members. The police say that there is a reason for all of these arrests. Also, they do share, I want to be clear, it's not just police, but it's Homeland Security investigations, Maria. So those who cannot be charged federally are being detained.
If you're an undocumented immigrant family on Long Island, did you ask which one they're more concerned with? The violence that they may be subjected to, or what's happening in terms of deportation?
I asked it, and the answer was unequivocally MS-13. Many of the families, of course, they don't want to go back because they would then have fear of gangs where they came from. But the immediate fear is La Mara.
Something in the article that you wrote for The Times about the murders kind of stuck out to me. This is when some young people actually flagged down a police officer.
Yeah.
And actually told him about the missing boys. But the police actually said the officer told them to just submit a missing persons report. So how does that jive? You've got people coming to the police and saying, look, kids disappeared. And the police saying, yeah, why don't you just file some paperwork?
It was astounding when I heard that.
So the family members end up finding the bodies. The mother of one of the victims, Justin, you quote her as saying in your story, "Sometimes I think if it had been an American boy, they would have been moving heaven and earth." So is there a sentiment that while the police are saying, we want to protect you, we want to take on the gang, we want to arrest, that in fact, in those moments, it seems like the Latino parents feel like the police are not actually heeding their calls for help?
Yes, I think the police were slow. And I do think that they made up for lost time. I'll go back to the numbers and say that the police did what they said they were going to do in catching these people. So the end game is there. Perhaps it hasn't been perfected the way that this police department would like it, and there's still so much to improve.
Liz Robbins, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA and for all of your reporting.
Thank you, Maria.
Liz Robbins is an immigration reporter for the New York Times.